How many people around the world do you think have tuberculosis right now? Give it a guess. 1 in 5, maybe? Too high? 1 in 10? Turns out the actual figure is higher than you might think. It's actually 1 in 3. Tuberculosis is the world's number one infectious killer, and yet we rarely hear about it. Our producer Sam King wanted to find out what life was like for people who have TB, lurking inactive in their lung tissue.
I went to a party. One of my friends found out and was under the impression it was common knowledge. I think it was about 2 hours after they found out that everyone at the party knew. That sucked.
Yeah.
That really sucked because, yeah, up until then it was on the down low. Didn't want people to know about it. Yeah, I guess it got out and wasn't much I could do.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump in here and break the ice. This is a friend of mine. We'll call him Hamish. He has tuberculosis.
After that, I figured not to keep it a secret, I guess. Most people who I know that I have it. I don't tell everyone that I work with. That's sort of the one thing I don't tell people. Everyone I'm in a platonic or any other relationship, I usually share it. I didn't actually know what the hell tuberculosis was until I actually had it in my lungs.
And neither did I really until speaking with Hamish, so let's take a moment to clear that up. Tuberculosis is caused by a bacterial species known as Mycobacterium tuberculosis. 1 in 3 people in the world are infected with Mycobacterium tuberculosis. But here's the thing, there's a world of difference between being infected with this bacterium and being sick with tuberculosis.
So you can be infected with tuberculosis, but you don't become sick because you're very well nourished, you're eating a healthy diet, you get enough sleep, you're not living in overcrowded settings, you're not living in poverty.
This is Dr. Paul Mason. He's done extensive work with tuberculosis patients around the world. I'll let him take it from here.
Now, if you're not living with those risk factors, then the likelihood of becoming sick with tuberculosis is lower. The number of people who get tuberculosis every year is over 9.6 million. The good news is it's a curable disease, so most of those cases are cured. Sadly, over 1.5 million people still die from the disease.
Which today makes tuberculosis the world's leading infectious killer. You may have heard of the symptoms, the coughing, night sweats, the abscesses in the lungs.
Don't forget, though, that not all forms of tuberculosis are lung infections.
In up to 20% of active cases, the infection spreads beyond the lungs, which is known as extrapulmonary tuberculosis. It's a horrible way to go, but what's interesting is how it only affects a very small minority of the people who are actually infected with the bacterium. So I wanted to ask, what is life like for the 1 in 3 people who are living with a latent tuberculosis infection right now?
The stigma of tuberculosis, depending on the location, can be very harsh.
People had actually told me they got nervous, and so many people, the moment after you tell them, go, are you contagious? Wait, we've shared a bunch of drinks in the past week, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so they get instantly terrified of that. That's a big one, is drinks. Everyone thought, oh, that's contagious as hell. The ones who knew something about it, they'd know it's in your lungs and it's contagious as hell.
What do you do to manage it?
Well, at the moment, nothing, which shocked me.
So there's no regular checkups?
Nope. None locked in. It's okay. Go out into the world and let's hope nothing happens.
How often do you get checked up?
I've been probably twice in the past year.
When was the last time?
6 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah.
Which I was really panicky about at first. So after you find out you get it, straight away they will get you some chest x-rays and get you on antibiotics and I want to say vitamin B. Again, it was a long time ago, but you need to take around about 4 pills a day, spread out throughout the day.
And that's why they figure out whether or not it's active.
They know straight away if it's active or not.
I see.
They just check the chest x-ray. All right, you're not active. You don't need to be locked up or anything. Here are your vitamins and antibiotics. Take however many a day for 6 months. So 6 months, I got really good at swallowing pills and having my blood taken. Because once a month during those 6 months, you go in, get your blood taken. They make sure you're still okay, not reacting badly to the medication, which apparently does have a fair few side effects, pretty commonly. After that, you get to the end, and it's, nah, you're fine. Go, yeah, live your life. I can remember at first, every time I'd get, like, a slight cold or anything like that, have a bit of a cough, you know, I'd run into the hospital and say, it's activated, let's lock me down, get me some of the good meds. The way they'd almost brush it off, in a way, is reassuring and also worrying, because she'd go, do you have night sweats, and list off a couple of other symptoms. I'd say no. She'd go, no, you don't have it. Trust me, you'll know when you do. That's what I also tell people. It's not like the common cold. I mean, it does kill however many people a year. It's not a slight tickle in the throat. When it activates, it's activated tuberculosis. It's a different kettle of fish. So
you feel confident being in Australia, though?
I feel very confident being in Australia. You know. Like, as I say, a treatment and also just service that I've been provided has been above and beyond. Mm. All free as well, which has been great. I was living on uni when, at the time, had very little money. And, yeah, it was all taken care of, all regular checkups. Didn't pay a single dime for the medication, for the x-rays, everything. It was great. The system was perfect, as far as I'm concerned. I was blown away. Made something that should have been really difficult, really easy.
Of course, it's a different story in developing countries where TB is much more prevalent and treatment harder to come by. Dr. Mason worked with tuberculosis patients in Vietnam, where there's no safety net and the stigma is much more harsh.
There is one TB patient who sticks in my mind, probably because it was the first TB patient that I interviewed. He was a lottery ticket seller. This is a lottery run by the government so that people who are poor and have no other means of income can have some form of income. So he would get 10% commission, which was about 1,000 Vietnamese dong, 5 cents. And in any given day, he would sell between 30 to 50 tickets, which means he was living on $1.50 to maybe $2.50 a day. And that covers your essentials. That covers, you know, some rice, and it covers maybe something to go with that. You know, it doesn't cover a lot. So he eventually became sick with tuberculosis, and he lost so much weight that this person, when I met him, he was 50 kilograms, which is already quite light for a grown man. But when he was at his sickest, he was 30 kilograms.
30?
30 kilograms.
Wow.
And so he and his wife moved apart for a while. He didn't want her to become sick. And so isolation is a very strong part of the stigma. People can be shunned very abruptly, told not to share social spaces. You know, they'll be cut off from going drinking with the boys or going out playing cards or, you know, or even selling your tickets locally. What amazed me was his perseverance and his tenacity in adhering to tuberculosis treatment, no matter how hard it became for him. And the side effects of the drugs were really hard. He couldn't sell his tickets locally because people were afraid that they would get sick, which was a false belief, but nonetheless, because of the lack of public education, people didn't want to touch anything he had touched, didn't want to go near him. So he had to walk even further every day to sell these lottery tickets. And of course, his income was then affected by that. And his nutrition wouldn't have been very good. So, and he had no other means of addressing these shortfalls in his life. You know, I mean, these people who are under conditions of unnecessary stress, their fallback system or their safety net is just not as wide. It's very,
you know, and in some cases non-existent.
Yeah, non-existent. Yeah. So something like tuberculosis can just really knock them out of the water.
What happened to him?
He actually got better, which was incredible because of all the hurdles that he had to surmount to get better and to complete his treatment was incredible. So I met him at the end of his treatment, towards the end of his treatment. And he needed to get, or he was told to get an x-ray to find out whether or not his treatment had been successful. But he couldn't afford the x-ray. It cost him $8 to get, so 160,000 Vietnamese dong to get this x-ray. But he couldn't afford it because he has no money to put away to save money. He's already, you know, asked friends and family for money already, so he can't ask them again because they don't have a lot of money. When I met him, we organised a free x-ray for him. Just, you know, I mean, he'd already gone through the treatment. When I met him after he had this x-ray and went to his village and walked around, he was a completely different person to the person I'd met when I first met him, because he was standing upright, he was happy, he was able to sell his tickets locally.
Mm. More comfortable being around people.
Yeah. He was more comfortable, and he had this doctor's certificate to go, look, I'm better, you don't need to be afraid. It completely transformed his life just to have a certificate to tell him that he was better. Yeah. So, and this is someone who was already under treatment, who was not infectious. What he needed and what was so simple for me to organise for him was this free x-ray. You know, and when I saw how easy it is to help one person, I'm just thinking, why aren't we doing more? Why are people at the end of the treatment still suffering the social consequences of this disease, the stigma of this disease, even though they've almost finished treatment?
And if this is a treatable condition that a third of us carry, why is there so much social stigma in the first place? Could it be because it's just not that well understood? Because people don't really know how you get it, who you can get it from, how it's transferred, how widespread it really is? I mean, without wanting to make assumptions, you probably thought Hamish picked it up overseas while travelling, right?
I was working in an Indian restaurant out in Penrith and got a letter in the mail saying someone has identified you as someone they've been in contact with tuberculosis. Come in, get checked, we'll make sure you're okay. Whenever I tell anyone, you know, I got it from an Indian restaurant, everyone goes, oh, okay, so it was someone who got it in India, brought it back, and then you got it from them. It could have been. I mean, it's all anonymous. The hospital's not allowed to tell me exactly who gave it to me. I have a pretty good hunch. You know, there was someone who was coughing a lot, quite unhealthy. I'm pretty sure I know who it was. Again, just suspicion. But she's the only person I can remember coughing and is the person who I worked in the closest proximity to. And she was Australian, born and bred, like several generations. It was from Australia. It was tuberculosis from Australia.
Sam King with that story.